Martha, you're the first one I'm going to pick on here. Given the level of public investment in food hubs and local food systems over the last few years, how efficient and or sustainable are these in the long run?
Okay, well, thanks, George. That's a great question. And I think, you know, you point to a really important issue. And it's definitely, as we look at the requests for proposals and the guidelines for grant writing, that's something that USDA is really concerned about, too. Because what they are doing with grant and loan programs is trying to take some of the risk out of starting a business in, it's not uncharted territory, but there's a, you know, there's a lot of unknowns. You know, how do you develop a business that brings together these regional assets, creates a market mechanism, and is successful in the long run? And so there's definitely a lot of emphasis in the grant and loan programs on how sustainable these businesses will be, because we do see them coming into business, and then some of them are not sustainable because they don't have, you know, appropriate business plans. So I think, you know, in some areas we have seen really good progress where those businesses have been able to get to do good business consulting and develop really good planning mechanisms to help them create sustainable businesses. I think that's where, if they can link in with those types of community resources, I think that's where we see the best prognosis for sustain, you know, those investments helping to create sustainable businesses. And I think just as a last point too, I think there really needs to be the density of producers to make those businesses, you know, be profitable. There has to be the array of products available, as well as the market that's proximate enough to that aggregation center, or, you know, distribution is feasible within that area, so that the, you know, there's a market for the products that's just not too distant.
Thank you very much, Martha. Hey, Karen, this question is for you. Martha indicated that the number of direct market farms are growing. However, their sales range between $5,000 and $10,000. What are the issues of exempting this group of producers?
So that's a very good question. What we see, at least, so some of the farmers that I've talked to here in Utah, we're looking at a lot of our people who are maybe doing farmers market. They're selling some produce maybe through a co-op type situation to a local grocery store where that produce is aggregated. That $25,000 needs to be the total value of produce sales. Speaking with some of our economists here at Utah State University, we're looking at that $25,000 cap actually being quite low when you consider all of the possible outlets that a farmer has. We have reports that some people with even backyard gardens are going over that $25,000 a year cap that's mandated in the Food Safety Modernization Act quite easily within the course of 1 year. Now, this $25,000 is a rolling average, a three-year rolling average, so they do need to consider all of the sales over the most recent three-year period. In terms of someone that truly falls under that $25,000 cap, I think we would be looking at a small enough farm that they maybe wouldn't have some of the same issues with the agricultural water sources that a larger farm would. There are very strict limits on the amount of specific bacteria that can be in that agricultural water. And a lot of times we see people that are using maybe, they might be using some irrigation water, but it's something that's provided through a city or a local area that actually is subjected to water quality testing on a regular basis anyway. One of the biggest issues with those smaller producers is that the FDA did consider in setting that $25,000 limit was, do you know who you are buying that produce from? If there is a problem and it does make you sick, would the consumer be able then to turn around and identify exactly who it was that they purchased that from? And in looking at the numbers in terms of the sizes of farms and the number of farms that were below that threshold of $25,000, it was such a small percentage, and they were doing pretty much exclusively local sales, direct to consumer at a farmer's market or a farm stand. And so the FDA felt that that cap was an appropriate level, and the food safety issues that might follow as a consequence of anyone below that threshold not meeting certain water quality standards, that it would not be a large issue in terms of public health or safety.
Yeah, Karen, thanks a lot for that succinct summary of that question. Okay, Charmaine, I have one question for you, and actually a very important question. What are the liability issues agritourism operations need to address?
There are many liability issues that they need to address. One is that food safety issue. If anything is consumed, let's say that they have a farm stay program and they're serving breakfast or dinner, there's that issue. There's also the hazards that can be incurred. Let's say you've got a U-pick operation and you have your customers picking cherries on a ladder. You can see how that can turn into some bad news. You have kids being involved in petting animals in a gated area, but sometimes those animals get freaked out. There's all kinds of machinery on a farm, and if you have visitors that are wandering around, you have to warn them and make sure that they won't be touching and trying to operate the equipment. Or if you offer wagon rides, you're not going to have seat belts on that wagon ride, but a rider could potentially fall off. So for that, we definitely advise agritourism operators to get liability insurance, and oftentimes they're very surprised at how expensive it is, but we always emphasize that it's very important for them to protect themselves and their assets and to get that insurance.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, well, that's, can't give them a round of applause because we're a long distance away here, but thank you very much to Martha, Karen, and Charmaine for these really informative presentations today. Click to my next slide here, hopefully. So we would like to hear from you, the listeners today, about what you'd like to hear from us. What topics would you like to have us offer in the future? Either send us an entry here or contact one of the participants, which are one of the coordinators of this, if you will, about future programming. Really appreciate your input. For more information on the slide set and to access the recorded version of the webinar, you can visit our Ag and Uncertain Times website, which is listed below. You can also go onto our file share window here and click on each file that's listed if you would like to have a download of the materials that were presented today. So we have those available to you as well. And with that, concludes our webinar for today, and we really appreciate all of the audience that participated in this, and certainly a great shout out to presenters today for this outstanding webinar on local food. So with that, we'll be signing off. Thanks a lot.